Not live, and coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Yay! I want to say hello to Sammy Junio and Joe White.
Yay!
I want to say my staff, my associates. Dennis Olsen is here with us again today. Yay. Louis LaCava is he's here for the third time. Mm. Happy to have Louis back. He is, well, yeah, exactly. And you're an expert cake baker, too, though.
Yeah.
Louis has been on three times discussing Al Capone-ish gangsters. And I know that a lot of you guys out there really enjoy Louis talking and stuff like that. So, but today we're going to talk. We're also welcoming Leslie Catwoman and Dave Anger.
Okay, now. We didn't hear no yaying.
Yay! Welcome to the Bob Dean Show. Before we get into the meat of the program, we record on Tuesday, so the show will be out on Friday, but I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow night, so y'all can't come because it'll be over. I will be at Flappers in Burbank on October 7th, Sunday night, showtime 9 o'clock. Please come out. This is episode 56 of The Bob Dean Show. Yay! Very proud of that. And as you know, we've been picked up by iHeartRadio. So please, right. Everybody, while it's still free, download and subscribe, rate and review on iTunes, please. And go to add the iHeartRadio app to your devices and follow The Bob Dean Show. Yay! On iHeartRadio. And you can watch now thanks to the artistic talents of Joe White on YouTube and Sammy Junior, of course. So anyway, that being said, let's see what else. I always forget anything I want to say. Happy birthday to everybody. Happy Jewish holidays. Merry Christmas coming up. And let's get to the show. Yay.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, that's right. I knew. Halloween. Well, that week we're going to have three or four shows before Halloween.
And don't forget about Columbus Day.
That's right.
Nice bastard.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, we are going to dress up for
the
Halloween, everybody.
The man who brought the wheel to the new world.
Wheel to the new world. That's true. Okay. So anyway, this lovely lady and these gentlemen, well, I know that you three go back to the mid-70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
as does Reggie.
And you and
all
you.
Of us,
all
yeah.
of you. But now, okay, these guys are what now? I was a new waver.
We were all
new wavers,
yeah,
in the beginning.
But I wasn't. Dennis, we joke. He said, you're a punk rocker at heart. Because I was like Sheena. I wore the khaki pants and the button-down shirt, and I ran with preppy kids. And I'm still friends with these guys, but at the same time, I have a rock and roll soul, I guess.
Troublemaker.
Go to hell. Why I oughta. Anyway, but so these guys were how the whole thing started, the whole real punk rock era in Los Angeles, California on the Sunset Strip. And I'm just going to turn it over to these guys. How long did you all met... hanging out on the Sunset Strip in what, 1975, around that time?
No, not 75.
I popped in 79 when I was
okay.
Rock and Roll High School.
I'm a couple of years. Will you hit Lou?
I'm 78, 79, late 78.
I'm 78.
You
I'm
look
70.
78.
Thank you.
Maybe late 78, more 70, yeah, 78, 79.
And you?
I started in 76 in San Francisco and came to Hollywood in 77.
Okay, so it's all around the same time. Now, do you guys remember when you first met and where?
Well, I used to have one of those afar crushes on Leslie when I was a kid. A lot of guys did at the old Starwood.
Yep.
And a lot of guys wouldn't talk to her because...
I beat the shit out of you.
She had that reputation. You know, she did.
No,
she
but
had
that's
that
actually
reputation.
True. I had a horrible reputation. I would have loved to have a punk rock boyfriend, but nobody would mess with us. They were afraid. So these punk rockers really were a bunch of pussies.
We were all young back in the day.
They were young. I mean, he's 2 years younger than me. So if I was 17, he was 15. And probably, you know, at that age, I probably wouldn't have given him the time of day anyway. Because, you know, I mean, when you're 53 and 55, it's not that bad. But,
yeah. You saw him standing there by the wrecking machine. Huh?
Yeah, with his braces.
And PF
yeah, and his little mohawk.
And PF Flyer. Did you really have braces?
No,
I did not. We never actually spoke. I just always thought, you know, everybody, you go to the club, some people talk, some people didn't. They had their cliques, just like it is today.
Yeah.
Things changed in life. And I never actually got the nerve to actually go up and finally talk to her. But then she eventually disappeared as the scene grew on a little bit longer as I got older. And then we actually met up through, I hate to say it, but Facebook.
Listen, that's brought a lot of old friends together, and you know, a lot of people that don't want to, but more so, I think it's done good.
Well, yeah, through a mutual friend that she has and I had from back in the day, and then her and I started talking, and then all three of us would start going out and hanging out, and eventually it just blossomed into a nice relationship.
See?
Okay, nice. Now here's where the cat, where you first said cat, under Leslie Cat Women.
Women, correct. That's what
here
I was.
Here is how that came to be, but, okay, through Facebook.
Give our audience a little background. Now, your AKA was Cat Women.
Cat Woman
back, a long time ago.
Right, because of my hair and you know,
you're
makeup.
Friggin' awesome. Can you show the audience your glasses, too?
My Cat Woman.
They're friggin' awesome.
I got my Cat Woman tattoo.
Can I answer? I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but there was a London Cat Woman.
There was, yeah.
And some of us called her LA Cat Woman because they had the similar, a very unique, specific hairstyle.
And we actually looked a lot alike.
They did look alike.
But you know what? She was the only one doing it at the time. And everybody was afraid to do it because they were afraid that she was going to punch you out. That's what we thought. We did. And then I gave a mutual friend of mine and Lance's, Todd Carnahan, I gave
Great
him
guy.
A similar Catwoman hairdo. And it was weird. He had it for a bit, and he got threatened a few times by other punks, which made no sense because we were all supposed to be there enjoying ourselves and doing whatever it was the hell we want. But it was always the upper middle class punks, if there's actually any real ones, you know, that would give him slack because he and I were, you know, we were poor kids. But it just didn't make any sense. But that's how she had her name, because she looked like the Catwoman from England. Yeah, and she was the only one here that had ever had that haircut for like the longest.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I changed my Catwoman to Catwomen on Facebook is my girlfriend, Nadine, a.k.a. Weenie, said, go on to Facebook. Well, I had been out of the scene for so, you know what I mean? I had two kids. I was married. I'm like, I don't want to get all involved. You know, I don't want people looking me up. I just want to do it so I can, like, she goes, well, change it from Catwoman to Catwomen. And I'm like, okay. And we thought, well, that would be okay. Did not work. Did not work, because that's just, they saw my face, there's old photos, and then that's bam.
Well, I'm going to friend you as soon as I get home. But yeah, you thought it would be a little bit of a diversion so you wouldn't be so recognized.
Because I don't think people really knew my name as Leslie, unless they really knew who I, you know, people that I really hung out with. I don't think anybody knew my name was actually, because it was just called me Kat. So
now,
I thought there's no.
What's the story? Are you guys both, you are an LA native. Right?
Yes.
Are you guys LA natives?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was born and raised.
What part of town did you grow up?
Silver Lake.
I grew up right in Hollywood. I grew up off Hollywood and Western, went to Grant Elementary, LeCon Junior High, and Hollywood High School.
Hollywood High School. Cool.
Yeah, and I went to Ivanhoe, King, and Marshall.
Well, I always, and you're from the Bay Area. I know that. I always say thank you, seriously, to LA natives, because I moved here from Nashville, as everybody knows, that listens to the Bob Dean Show.
Yay! Yay.
But because I moved out here because everybody was from LA was moving there. But I always say thank you to everybody that's a native for letting me move here, because I freaking love it. I wish I had moved here. I have a joke because I do stand up comedy and I'm relatively amusing. But I make a joke. I wish, because I flipped the coin in 1982. It was either L.A. or Miami. And Miami won, so I packed my car and moved to Miami. But I wish I'd moved here, because I could have been a washed-up has-been by now.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum.
But that's where you met Tomato.
Yeah. Oh, Tomato did plenty. This is a really, because Dennis and I are pretty close friends.
nudge.
But our 6 degrees of separation is crazy cool. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you. Dennis, you all knew Tomato, right? And I met Tomato sitting at this little cafe. Lulu's, when Miami Beach was having its resurgence in the mid-'80s and up. There was a cafe called Lulu's that I also managed for a while, intended bar there. That is exactly like Cafe 50s. Same concept, same, you know, small place with all the stuff on the walls. I'm sitting at the bar one afternoon, and this guy starts up a conversation. And blah, 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 blah. We talked for a couple hours. He goes, I want you to be in my play. And I'm like, and I mean, you know, I was Mr. Bumble in the 5th grade production of Oliver Twist and Uncle Max in the 6th grade production of The Sound of Music at Walter S. Miller Elementary School in Levittown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And, but I'd always,
did
you know.
Did you get all that?
I tend to repeat myself. That where I went to high school didn't have a theater program, blah, blah, blah. I knew I probably would have been a punk rocker and or a theater geek. All right. Tomato says, I want you to be in my play. And I was like, okay.
And of course, you had no idea who he was.
I had no. All I knew is that his name was Tomato. He introduced himself as Tomato, and of course, the first thing I was like, "Oh, cool, interesting name." And then, because I was living in Fort Lauderdale and just started working at this place, as I ended up moving to the beach and making a lot more beach friends, who probably would have been the equivalent of a punk rock kind of attitude. We took crap from nobody, and we ran the streets and ran them hard.
What about when the military took over during the storm and you guys were going out against the tanks and shit after
We had to hide in the dunes, but that's another story. We were crazy. But Tomato knew so many of the friends that I have to this day. So I was in his play. It was called Oogies. And it was and the theme song went, ooh, ooh, oogies, coffee shop on the strip, ooh, ooh, oogies, where the hanging is hip, ooh, oogies, it's the hip, 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 hippiness trip.
And Tomato wrote that, right?
Tomato wrote it and directed it, and it was about a coffee shop on Sunset Strip in 1966. And I'm not going to monopolize the whole show hour, but it's important. So. And Tomato and I became very good friends. He told me I was a natural. The Herald called the show horrendous. The opening night was just, and there was frontal nudity in the whole nine yards. It was a musical on top of that. The Herald called us horrendous. And I came running to the theater because I was like this khaki pants, Oxford cloth shirt guy from Fort Lauderdale that I'm just getting to meet everybody on the beach. And I come running in with the Miami Herald. We're horrendous. And Tomato's like, I know. And everybody else is like, all the serious actors are like, oh, I've never been so insulted in my life. Well, being called horrendous led to the theater being packed every night. And it was a small theater like the Ruby here. But it was the art act. Hello, JC and Carlos. JC Carroll was in blah, blah, blah. There's so many kindred friends that you guys should meet. But anyway, so that's how I met Tomato. And then when we started hanging out, we're just sitting around laughing and talking, and that's how we got on the subject. And I have a Tomato Duplenty that he gave me for my birthday on the wall. He's like, is that Tomato? I'm like, yeah, blah, blah. So 40 years later, you know, I was a friend of Tomato's on the beach. And then the other thing I was going to tell you about Darby Crash's house, where Dennis lived for some time, you know.
78.
And so we're sitting around one night and we're watching TV and laughing and blah, 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 blah. And I'm reading over Darby Crash's book and reading about that he went to Uni High. And I'm like, hey, Uni High, it's like, you know, it's 10 blocks from here. And I said to Dennis, I'm like, well, do you remember anything about where he lives? He goes, well, I remember there was this big church and a shopping center. And I swear it was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Disco drugs.
Yeah. And I was like, ugh. And I knew immediately where he was talking about. And I said, let's go. And the top was already down a little car. We get it. We back out. We go literally from here to the maybe a little bit further than the corner and around the corner. And that's where Darby lived.
Yeah, I knew like, it was in a vicinity, but not that close.
Yeah, I mean.
That was my landmark, that shopping center.
Exactly, which they had torn down since, but the church is what threw me.
Did Darby die in that house?
No.
No, he didn't. That's what I didn't know if he did.
He died farther east.
Oh, he did, okay.
In a guest house, right? It was right. I'm reading it.
A garage converted to a guest house.
Was he by himself?
No, he was with Casey Cola, who survives.
Oh, okay.
But so the weirdness of the story is Bob's in Florida, meets Tomato Duplenty, who urges him to come out here because he's a natural. He comes out here. Reggie's been gone for 38 years, yeah. Comes down from the Northern California, mm-hmm. And they meet up and
we talk about
and they know all the same people, and they're one block from where Reggie started
and
40
years
later.
And that was weird, because that was really cool, though, because Darby lived with his mom, it's really adorable. It's a really nice duplex that hasn't been torn down.
Right.
And I've always really admired and loved the units, they're, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So we go, and just the way that the street lamp was like this, and Dennis was kind of speechless, and we get out of the car, and he goes, there's where Darby did David Bowie in the concrete on the corner. And we walk up, and it's still there. It was really, really, it was very touching and very, very cool. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's how we met, and then knowing Tomato and that sort of thing. But let's get back to y'all. So
I want to hear about Crankshaft.
Crankshaft.
Oh. Who and or what is Crankshaft?
Crankshaft is a 36-year-old punk rock band from L.A., originally with Lino Lousy, Paul De La Cruz, Nick LaMagna from RS7, who passed away last year, mm-hmm. and Walter Phelan, who are now RS7, who are a punk rock band that still keep playing. I eventually became the third guitar player for Crankshaft, and unfortunately, Lino died in jail last December. So Mystic Records, the original record company, is gracious enough to let us record the songs that we never did because the band broke up so long, long, long ago. And I'm redoing all the songs with my original drummer, and we're going to put out a CD hopefully by the end of the year.
That's friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice for nostalgia. You know, it's great.
That's awesome, buddy.
For him, and we're doing it mostly as a remembrance of him. And I spoke to his son, and I told his son, like, I'm going to use all your dad's lyrics except for two songs that he wrote about your mom, and I don't want to think those bad things about your mom. So that's it. But it's nice. It's nice that the company is, you know, I became friends with the owner, Candace DeAndre, and she's willing to do that for us and for him. So it's
that's
very
great.
Cool. It's very cool.
Much success to you. You'll keep us posted on dates when we can all.
Well, two comps came out already with one song each. One's Return to Slimy Valley, and the other one's called Mystic Land, which just came out 2 days ago.
And we can find them?
You can find those on iTunes.
On iTunes?
You can look them up.
Along with the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Let's look for these great tunes, man.
I'd actually like to give a shout out to a mutual friend of Reggie and mine, Jane Weens. Happy birthday, Janie.
Happy birthday, Insane Jane. I love you already. Was she here in town?
No,
she's in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
She was in the Maggots, and she was also in the Cosmetics with my sister.
Uh-huh. And the Lou, Versus, the Ramonas, the Maggots.
Cosmetics.
She was in a band with a guy that went on to become a Beastie Boy. She was Courtney Love's first band, Baby Doll.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
She's a great.
She's a great drummer.
She plays drums with a broken foot. I mean, she will kick a gig out.
Not only that, an amazing artist. Her house
was the Beetle House.
It was the Yellow Submarine.
That was famous landmark in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Need to come on down here and say, Jane, and we'll do a show with you too. That'd be freaking awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, she would be awesome to have.
I know.
Her and Kitty.
Now, when you guys were club and on the Sunset Strip, what were the hot places? We're going to get to the Mask because that's fascinating to me. But what were the clubs where everybody you could always count on meeting your friends outside or at the show?
Starwood.
For me, it was Starwood
Whiskey.
Because it was local for me.
Godzilla's, Vex.
Cathay de Grand. A half mile down the road from my house.
I mean, I know the Fleetwood back when.
Down in Redondo. But it was important, but it's kind of removed from the Hollywood thing.
Right. Yeah. Completely removed.
And so, but what?
Seventh Veil at some point was also.
The Seventh Veil that's there, right?
No, but they had.
It was a
they
club.
Had they yeah.
It was a club then, but what is it now? A strip club? Because I just passed it.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple roller derbies who did it.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Now what? Now okay. What was the first one we said? The
Mask.
The Whiskey.
The Whiskey. The Whiskey is still, but most of these other clubs are gone though, right?
Well, no, they're still there. They just don't play. The Starwood's gone.
Well, Starwood's gone.
But I'd like to say the little strip mall that's built on the Starwood site is built in the exact same footprint of the old building.
Yes.
So the parking lot's there, and the building.
What corner are we talking about there? Do we know?
Is it?
It's La Cienega.
I can't remember. That's neat.
And then of course Okie Docks.
You guys remember that Middle Eastern prince that had a big palace up on the boulevard, and he had painted all the
private parts of the statues, right?
He painted the pubic hairs.
Where was that? Is that where the?
It's on Sunset Boulevard.
Isn't that near the Miracle Mile?
Is it still there?
It should still be there. He said he'd never take it down. The city couldn't make him do so.
Because I haven't seen it, but the place I think is now a Mormon tabernacle.
Yeah.
And he may have sold it then. Because I remember the last time I saw it there was, God, I haven't been in this area in so long. It's got to be at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So he may have sold it.
He may have.
We need to get a walking tour. Seriously, not today.
That's what Google's for. I ain't walking. I'm old.
Well, we had one of those scooters, but Dennis broke it.
I'm too fast.
I did. I had one of those heavy people, old people scooters from the scooter store that I bought at the thrift store. Like the first year I moved to it would have been 13 years ago, and it was brand new. And anyway, so it was tradition to drink martinis and ride it up and down the driveway at my house. And then on Christmas Eve, which you guys are invited to my house for Christmas Eve, it's it'll be the 14th annual Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree, which is a benefit for the Humane Association, but it's a kick-ass party.
Oh,
right?
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it really is. It's a blast. But anyway, how did I get to that?
The scooter.
How the scooter. Because it was a Christmas Eve tradition. But then Reggie here, you know, but he was getting a lot of use out of it. But that thing, they look so light and airy until they break down and the thing weighs
about 600 pounds. How fast are you going, Reggie?
75. Just be glad he didn't end up under a bus.
It went about 10 miles, I think about 8 miles an hour.
It got out on me and I was like, go around.
He was in the middle of Barrington Avenue going, go around.
I brought it down to Olympic to go to 7-Eleven and conked out on me.
Did you charge it?
I called a taxi that was capable of helping me with the chair. They never showed up, so I ended up pushing it 10 fucking blocks.
It's heavy. Well, it's gone because it died.
Now, when it dies, you have the brake system shuts down.
I found out what happened was I went over the curb too hard and the battery cable had come off. If I didn't know that, I could just.
It's one of the kids' cable. The
evil Knievel over here.
Didn't even bother to look.
And we took it to the hospital, scooter hospital, and the guy was like, you know what, you got really well. I'm not gonna, but it's gone. So we're gonna have to rent one for Christmas Eve.
He didn't rob you, did he? Did he rob you?
No.
He didn't tell you it wasn't plugged in.
I love that scooter, man. It was anyway. It was fun as shit.
So let's have some punk rock dirt on people like who ruined punk rock.
What I wanted, okay.
Like Henry Rollins being an undercover fag that left his boyfriend in the dirt to be murdered.
Well, that's hard to talk.
I know.
But I think it's all pretty accurate, actually.
Well, are you going to continue?
In this day and age, does it really matter?
Really anymore?
Oh, yeah, like who starred the lads. Business. That's always been a huge...
I'm not going there.
Alex someone's or ass. Conahan or whatever.
Oh, it's I'm not even so going there. Ridiculous.
Nope. Well, let's talk
about
clear.
Let's talk about the mask.
Okay.
Because you had told me a bunch of interesting stories about the mask, and then when I was watching Behind the Music, Belinda Carlisle, she talked about the mask, and they showed some pictures from
she was fat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. When she was real fat. And
Darby used to call her the Day-Glo blimp.
She's just plump. What?
She was young.
I love her to death, but so what?
I love big women.
Big deal.
And if you haven't heard Dennis's song, Belinda's Bra.
Oh, yeah, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. It's friggin' awesome. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a great tune. Have you ever
never told me about that? You have a song on YouTube?
Probably not.
What do you mean?
What, he says, did I ever tell him about it?
I thought you did. No, it's on there. It's called Belinda's Bra, and it's
what's
rock,
your username?
Baby.
Huh?
Your username.
Just go Belinda's Bra.
Oh, Belinda's Bra.
Just type in Belinda's Bra, baby, and it'll come right up.
Ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha. I stole your bra. I don't want to ruin it for me.
I wrote that song because remember when she donated her bra to the museum of...
No, I'm not a star follower. I really don't pay attention to what people do.
Frederick's.
Frederick's. She donated her bra to Frederick's Museum.
What year was this?
And so I wrote a song about stealing it and wearing it on stage and sing and doing the song. And I planned on doing that. But when the riots happened, some motherfucker beat me to the head.
Oh.
They went and took it.
It's actually stolen now.
It's actually got stolen.
It was neat. It was leather and pointy. Like that tired-ass Madonna's cone thing in the 80s. I never got
birthday hats.
Her birthday hats. Remember where that sex book came out? I was a bartender in Miami. And I was like, I remember being high as hell at 5 o'clock in the morning, smoking a cigarette, flipping through that thing going,
yeah.
Whatever.
I'm like, I did that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But the mask was what? It was a...
It was a punk rock gig.
Now, was it an old apartment building? Was it a hotel? Was it a warehouse?
It was on the strip
underground.
Frederick's of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Under the Pussycat Theater, right?
No.
Where Frederick's is now?
Are
you talking about the first mask or the second mask?
The first one.
Okay. I went to the second one. I didn't go to the first one.
Across from the Canterbury on by Cherokee.
But the scene was very artsy back then. It wasn't hardcore. It was still very...
It was very
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Very pogo-y. Very pogo-y. People were still, it was more theatrical. It wasn't hardcore. You could still wear pillbox hats and be very artsy and art, artsy, and it wasn't violent at all.
Colors and animal prints and sexual perversity.
Yeah, yeah.
But when... The LA Times Weekly did a story on the mock violence.
Right.
All the violent beach kids thought it was real, so let's go beat people up, and girls couldn't even dance anymore.
Right, it got, you know, yeah. Okay. Then the slant, yeah, and then, well, you know, there was always a tradition, a transitional phase for me and my girlfriend who I hung out with. Her name was Jet Screamer. We started out actually as mods before. That was back in 76, and she used to ride. Now, this is actually kind of funny because we were mods. She had a Yamaha 150 that she rode. I rode in the back, no helmets, with beehives really high,
awesome.
With go-go
awesome.
Boots. Her mother, she passed away, and unfortunately her mother grabbed all the photos. I'm trying to contact her brother to see, but she grabbed all the photos. We would go up to B-Rock. Do you remember B-Rock up in Griffith Park and get high? And that's the way we drove around town with these. And that was a lot of Aquanet those beehives going. Sure. And that's how we pretty much got to the gigs, too, is on her motorcycle. And we were constantly getting stopped by the cops. But this one cop was actually really cool. He just wanted to take photos with us. So there was a whole transition. You know, we all started the new wave and then the mod. And then eventually we kind of thought, as everything progressed, we saw ourselves just getting more and more hardcore, you know, get into the hardcore scene. Because then it was like a lot of the people that were going to the mask and the scene was changing, they were getting beat up by all these people that were more, so they kind of, I mean, either you hung tough and you know, transformed into mm-hmm. something, or a lot of those old, they dropped off. I didn't see a lot of these people. They didn't like the way the scene was going.
Yeah, they didn't want to put up with the shit.
And then you had all the Huntington Beach people, you know, the skin, the HBs coming down, starting shit, and it was kind of ridiculous.
Who was it? Did you just say from Huntington Beach?
HBs.
The HBs.
And there was some of the skinheads.
Oh, that's what they were called. The clan or...
They're just a bunch of idiots.
You fucker.
Yeah.
Pardon me. We're going to have to edit it. I mean, not edit, but we're going to have to make sure that I put language at the front. No. But yeah, you jerk offs.
And then one time at Okie Dogs, we were attacked by the Japanese mafia with nunchucks.
Holy crap.
You wouldn't believe the things you'd see out there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty.
I was in North Carolina in 77, and I had to fight for it.
Yeah, it's bad. It was bad. They tried to beat the shit out of us, and they were good. They were good, but luckily, Arnell was there. Mikey was there. There wasn't a lot of people at Okie Dogs that night.
DeSalvo Greg?
I don't know if DeSalvo Greg was there, but they all pulled their knives out, and... Because honestly, even though we were hardcore, these guys, they knew their shit as far as their whatever, taekwondo. They had nunchucks and everything. Mm. I don't know where they came from. They just jumped out of a truck.
You never know where a ninja comes from.
I know. They're totally.
Or where they go.
Yeah.
Ninjas are Japanese.
I know. I'm just glad I wasn't peeing behind Okie Dogs at that moment because that would have been really bad.
Yikes. Well, like Dennis just said, you fought for your orange and green hair and now orange and purple hair. And now everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
So it's pioneers like this and this and this is why y'all can have your hair color today.
That's right. I remember this black, because I lived right off Hollywood and Western. There was an arcade that was famous. It was there for years. And I remember I was walking by and I had blue hair and my girl had green hair. And this black guy comes out and he goes, "You weirdo freaks." And I looked at him and I go, "You're a racist." You should have seen him. He turned white. It was hilarious to look out of his face when I said that to him. I mean, it was back. I was 17. It was so far long ago. I mean, I'm 53 now. 53. You know? So, it's, you know, that's a long time ago. So still, any little bit of racial tension was weird. And I was surprised when he said that to me. I really was. Because he was an older guy. So you think he would have known better from what he'd been through, not to care or let some things go dismay.
It's odd how it doesn't work that way.
I mean, people
it was the look of hatred on his
us.
Face. That was the thing.
They
was the
did.
Look of, you freaks!
Like, you know, we went to Magic Mountain and the Hell's Angels was following us around. They wanted to murder us. And it was bad.
Because everybody was just scared of your style?
Well, they didn't. Yeah, they
and they were jealous because they didn't think of it first.
No, but the worst thing was I was fucking blazing on two hits of acid at the time. And I'm like, are those really Hell's Angels? And they really want to kill us. And we couldn't get into Disneyland. We didn't even make it through the parking lot.
Disneyland kicked, wouldn't let anybody in.
They kicked everybody in that had looked. They said we were gang related. We didn't even make it into near the entrance.
That's funny, without being years in. Later, I took my boy, and they were punk rockers with the boots and the spiked leather leather wristband, the spiked, not the triangle. And my son was 5 at the time, and I was like, going, wait a minute, I thought they weren't allowed to be in here.
Well, things were progressed by then.
Yeah,
right.
But we
paved the way.
That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a monolithic rock culture through the 60s and 70s, and I think these people were really invested in that. And when somebody just flushed all their values down the toilet overnight, they were really threatened by that. I mean, to the point of fighting. I mean, Dwayne Peters, broken jaw, broken ribs.
Yeah.
And people were getting jumped at schools and on the street.
Punks getting stabbed on church steps in San Francisco.
I'm for, was it Florentine Gardens? The punk got shot?
That happened to everybody. It happened to African Americans. I mean, everybody, you know, at one time or another. Yeah, we're people, like I was telling you today when we were eating breakfast. People are people. Nothing changes. I mean, if we didn't keep ourselves as well entertained as we are with everything that we have,
we'd be murdering everybody.
Just like they are everywhere else in the world where they don't have an iPhone or something to look at.
Xbox.
You got it. Seriously. That's all it is. It's just keeping busy.
Well, I think maybe because I don't know how to use my phone, it adds to my anger. If I learned how to use it, it would calm me down.
Well, you put it out in your comedy. See, you put it out somewhere. It's how you vent. If you vent in a positive way, it's it. If you don't vent at all, you don't know what to do, and you'll be a sporadic fireball.
Well, you know, this isn't like I said, Miami Beach. This it would be 10 years to 15 years after. You know,
but Miami Beach, you got all that tail and those killer bikinis. Who the hell's got time to be pissed off at anything?
Well, like no, but I mean, like I'm saying, though, is that the group of friends that Tomato introduced me to were basically, I won't say punk rockers, but it was our own friggin' style.
They were living free, baby. That's all it's about.
It was so much friggin' fun. And I did get, I was involved, I was standing in front of a gay bar. It was right next to Lulu's, which is where I met Tomato. And I was standing up at front, talking to John, the doorman, who was this little guy from Liverpool. And man, he would pound the crap out of anybody that got out of line. But we were just standing there talking. There's a bunch of guys outside the club, and it's, you know, Saturday. And I got attacked from behind. And it's, I'm just saying that it's so, you just wonder, what the fuck? We're just standing out there. And all these, you know, students from University of Miami, you know, well-dressed, they just came up and started pounding the crap out of everybody. And of course, they got their tails whooped.
But they were probably the football team.
Jocks.
I saw this one night, this guy. Because I was standing outside smoking a cigarette. Yes, I smoke and I make no apologies for it.
Yay.
Anyway.
But back in the day, I smoke cigars and I don't give a fuck.
And four guys, young guys, were standing outside in Twist, which is still there, but it was the hot spot at the time. And they're literally standing on the sidewalk going, watch out, you'll get AIDS, you know, to everybody that's walking by, right? And I'm just like rolling my eyes, like, what a little douchebags. And they're, you know, young fags, you know, don't get close. Like, well, these two dudes are walking up the street, and I'm telling you, they looked right out of friggin' Texas, man. I'm talking, and you know, I'm from Tennessee. They weren't glamorous cowboys. They were real cowboys, right? And they're clomping up the street, and as they pass by me, and the guy nods at me, and then this kid goes, watch out, this fag. And the guy didn't even look at him. He just went, boom, and he hit him so hard that he flew, like his mouth just exploded, and he flew like 5 feet through the air, landing on the hood of this Buick. And he's laying there going, and the two guys just keep on walking. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's a Texan for you.
Damn cowboys.
Yeehaw.
People passed the joke around that we were punks when it was called Hey Faggot.
Oh, yeah.
What about when everybody was being called Devo?
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
I go, Devo.
I chased these guys one time. I was sitting at a bus stop and I had a dreadlock mohawk. And this guy, these two guys, made another way. I was in the valley. They just pulled right up to me. Fucking faggot punk rocker, you fag. We're going to kick your ass. So I got up and they took off. Uh-huh. Which was hilarious because there were two Ann and a Firebird. But why would they make another aid to just pull over and do that? It's just ignorance in abundance, I guess.
Well, now, you have brothers and sisters?
No, thank God I'm alone.
I have three sisters.
I mean, yeah, like, look at all that trouble.
But it's all girls for us.
Well, I was going to say, though, I mean, like...
like men.
Were your siblings into the scene, too? Were your parents cool with
my
it?
My sister was in the cosmetics. But my sister's...
With Jane.
But my sister's 9 years older than me. My sister was in the glitter rock scene. You know,
she, okay, that, now, was, so that a lot was, of punks came
that
out
was
of.
Her, that was her thing.
Okay, now help us, help me and us understand the segues from... you were saying first it was more like the
well, that was like 72. Bonds.
Right, I mean,
you
so,
know,
but,
New York
but
Dolls,
glitter,
Mark Bartlett.
Okay, yeah. So it was... Okay, punk evolved from... Well, what do you think? Help me.
Anger, just straight anger.
I mean, but as far as the music scene, okay, in the 60s, it was like Mamas and Papas and all that sort of thing, and then it morphed
into... Well,
then
it was glitter
okay,
rock.
Okay, glitter. What do you
think
what,
it was,
what's glitter?
Well, glitter rock was more, you know, like David Bowie, New York Dolls, Mark Bolan,
Pixies,
T-Rex,
things like that.
Androgynous of spandex,
you know,
pants, glitter,
Iggy
glitter.
Pop, you know, before, you know.
That's when you see those guys with all the glitter and
Pixies.
The lipstick on.
Yeah, you know, they looked they more like, you know, they were very femme, you know, Queen. They're all very femme.
I gotcha.
And, you know, big hair, you know, they were the thing. But I think punk was because of the disco. That people were sick of having that shit down there.
Crammed down your throat. Sammy's laughing everywhere you
and it was like,
but that's here in America.
It was the disco and the overrated rock stars who overrated themselves so much that they'd wear like a long white gown and stand there and play keyboards for 3 hours straight.
Yeah, Bloody Queen.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
And
well, right,
ass,
right,
the
right.
Eagles.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, because then you had like Foghat and what's that?
Nazareth.
Yeah,
Boston,
Nazareth.
Kansas.
No, the perfect band he mentioned like that was a band called Angel. And they all
But the glam look gets recycled in the early 80s with the big hair bands.
Absolutely. Well, yeah,
the
later
heavy
on.
Heavy metal big hair
know,
bands.
That all kind of.
If you want to get an idea of
yes,
what it looked like.
Yes.
Guns N' Roses.
White Snake,
Striper,
White Striper. Snake, yeah.
Wasn't that the
rat?
Actually, Rat was okay. They were an LA band, but unfortunately, like that whole little LA scene for the new comeback metal glam just lasted maybe 2 or 3 years. Like the band called Poison.
Well, Milton Berle's. Wasn't that his nephew that was in this? That's
I don't know.
He that was his nephew, the singer of Rat. And he was in their video dressed as a woman because remember, he used to do that whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling Dennis this in the car there, and this is completely off the punk rock thing, but it was really kind of cool. Because I love to watch reruns of Burns and Allen and all that sort of thing. And there's a guy that came into, you know, I-10 bar at Wolfgang Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. I also want to plug the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard. No, seriously, because that's how this whole thing got off the ground. Oh, Sunda wants her key back, by the way, too. I she just wanted me to gently remind you because I had to give her mine back, too. Since we didn't record there. Anyway, but this, speaking of Milton Berle, is it this guy comes to the bar where I work in Beverly Hills, and he's, I guess, 70 or so, and he was very fondly telling stories about it. He used to date Milton Berle's daughter or one of the star's daughters, and he would go to pick her up on Sunday afternoons, and Lucy and Desi and Milton Berle and his wife and George and Gracie and all these Ozzy and Harriet. Mm-hmm. They'd all be hanging around, grilling out and drinking by the pool and that sort of thing. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they were all friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love that kind of Hollywood nostalgia, old day stuff.
And then you had Rock Hudson's parties.
Huh. Yeah. I remember hearing about them.
And Paul Lynn.
Do you remember seeing Rock Hudson on Dynasty? When AIDS first was, did you ever see that?
Oh, he didn't tell her.
He
didn't tell her, but I remember watching it, and it was like, what, 81 or 82 or something.
It was very sad.
But I can't believe, because I remember turning it on, watching it, because Rock Hudson was going to be making an appearance. I'm like, yeah, okay. I was pretty much in the closet then. The point being is that he looked so fucking awful.
I
was like, oh, good God, how could they not have.
Well, he was old anyways.
No,
I guess I didn't notice.
Well, if you looked at him a few years before and then you saw him, it was like, you know, it was like straight out of,
I remember reading somewhere where he went to Paris for what they were hoping, you know, private treatments of some sort or whatever.
Right.
And he was flying back on a chartered 7-4, a large plane of some sort. And he was the only one on the plane. And the stewardess tells how he was just bawling. And he said, my whole life, my whole adult life, everybody's wanted to touch me. And now Nobody wants to come anywhere near me, you know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he kind of got out in a really bad way during that time. They really put him to the moon.
They didn't know much about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The media was peddling panic about that.
Yeah, but they really, he really got the, he really got the brunt of it because he was the first.
Big name.
Yeah.
Well, at least, you know, for what it's worth, he did bring at least some recognition to the crisis at the time. Yeah. Because Susan, my friend Susan, who we will put it together someday, but she was our original cocktail corner. And our friend John, Andy, because when you know, Miami, it was the same kind of thing. You remember how your friends were like, yo, I'm getting skinny, or, you know, nobody knew what was going on, and blah, blah. Well, this one particular friend of ours who I bartended with, he was one of the first, you know, in Miami, it was really bad like it was in L.A. And when he was in the hospital, Susan, our friend Susan, who's just this Connecticut, you know, little Connecticut blonde, you know, and she went right into the hospital when they were all still in hazmat suits and things like that. And she's like, don't be ridiculous, you know? Don't turn away from our friends like this.
But Liz Taylor really stuck behind him, too. Oh, absolutely. She would not. She did not do it.
But Liz Taylor was so loud about it, too. Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, anyway, let's get on something more cheery. Yeah. 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. How we get to that?
We have 10 minutes left. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
10 minutes left. You guys bring it on.
What do you want to talk about? I'd like a poisonous members report, please.
Oh, yes. No. Yes.
We did 12 hours recording. We have a bunch of stuff left to do, backup singing and mixing and everything, but 7 songs are...
Congratulations.
Fleshed out there.
Spent 12 hours in the studio?
It's 12 hours. Wow. Doing what I know nothing about.
No, you know more.
You're
than
learning.
You
You're
learning smart. Is right.
You guys kick ass.
Yeah, thank you, guys you very, are good, much. Very good.
It's straight kind up. Of a surprise, but people seem to like it. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm coming to the next show.
I hope you do.
They're good. They're very good.
Well,
like I said, time is flying by. We have 10 minutes. Come on, you guys. Tell us what you want to tell us.
How about places we hung out? Everybody knows Okie Dogs, but few people know Errol Flynn's mansion.
Oh, yes.
We used to hang out in Hollywood Forever Cemetery before it was Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
But wait, Errol Flynn's, the actual Errol Flynn's?
Yes.
Burned down, but it was
but
just
it burned
like a
down.
Lot.
It was just a lot, but you had to climb up there. Someone got
that
into
is
their
so
head
cool.
to, let's put out a flyer where we're going to have a party up there. And then all these punk rockers are going up to Errol Flynn's, and then all of a sudden, all the cops show up, and you're cornered, and we're jumping the fences, rolling down the hill with foxtails in your crotch, your stockings everywhere, hobbling down the other side.
So there was a good point.
There was. I was picking foxtails out for days.
No, that was great. I was hanging
but
out
I wasn't
going to
get busted.
We were up at the top of the hill.
I mean, they were going to catch me.
Where was it? Do you remember?
Where was the street?
There's some Persian palace on it now, but
no, it looks like it literally looks like the entrance to a park. There's this a block wall and then a gate, and then the rest is just all dirt terrain.
Which
but it goes
we did
up
break
and
in.
You
it's private
get to,
property.
Yeah,
you,
it is private property.
You went up a side street off a main street up a hill,
and
it
really
circled
walk.
Back. To this plateaued area that overlooked the city, kind of.
Yeah,
and there was a hump.
Floor still there, right?
Well, I think it was just a basement covered over with wood and a pool with trash in it.
Well, the pool is where James Dean and Natalie Wood, what was that movie?
Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a Cause. So we always used to jump in and try to recreate that scene.
Did they film it in his pool?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So
that's where we used to hang out
after shows.
That's
where we used to hang out because it was a pool, so you could go in there. Get high. Of course, there was all these hypodermic needles in there, too, which, of course, nobody was like, well, whatever. But there was a caretaker that was on the property who sees probably 200 punk rockers coming up the mountain, all these people, calls the cops, threatens to shoot people. I think there was a couple gunshots going off, but it was such a huge property. But all you do is you start seeing all the cop cars coming up through the thing, and it's just like everybody scatters.
But and it's even been on TV. The tennis court that's lower down
right.
was haunted,
what
and
haunted.
People
yeah.
would hear tennis playing on the court. Nobody's there.
We gotta go spend the night there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time everybody got together to go tear down the Hollywood sign?
Oh, jeez. Yes.
Let's hear about it.
I remember being there.
You can't even go up. Yeah.
We couldn't really do nothing.
Well, you can't go up there because of all the suicides now.
Well,
but
also, if you remember, the Hollywood sign at the time
was not.
Which it's unbelievable to think of this now, but the sign was 50% fallen down at that
time. Right, it was trash.
But Hollywood.
Well, Holly, yeah.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah, there was letters totally missing and what have you. So, and I always liked that. That represented how I felt about my life and the city. In general, at the time, that it was just decrepit.
Because all the dead glitter was in the
exactly.
And that was the feeling of Hollywood then. And
it really was.
It was decayed.
All the porno theaters and titty bars on right there by the Howard Johnson.
Awesome. Totally agree.
Yeah.
What?
Do you remember all those porno theaters and titty bars by the Howard Johnson?
Oh,
that Pussycat Theater played what? Those same movies for like 10 years.
Deep Throat. And
longer, no longer. I was 10.
Debbie Does like Dallas.
Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
Behind the
green
door.
Behind the fudge bar.
Yeah.
Well, they also at that time.
You guys sure do know a lot about the. Wait a minute, so do I.
We're men. We're still on
because there was no internet, they had
those
magazine racks. So.
With the stars.
With the stars. You put, you put 50 cents in and you got a newspaper out that told you about pornos, but it also had ads in the back where people would put pictures in, come screw me. You know?
Yeah. Just kick them open. We didn't put no pictures in.
Ah, the good old days.
The Devil Miss Jones.
Now all you kids, all you do is swipe. And what right a bore. Well, you're a friggin' boring bunch
of losers.
And right next to it, you would have the Christian people handing out little cards with Christian sayings and things like that on.
Like, straighten up your life. You're going to burn in hell.
Oh, yeah, those little
the little pamphlets, and they had all kinds of things.
I hate to do it, y'all, but as you know, it flies right by.
We're
out of time. I want to thank you guys very, very much. I hope we'll... Yeah. Seriously, everybody's always invited to come back. We'll work it out sometime in the future, next year, when you can come again, and we'll just pick it up right where we left off.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. Thanks,
it's a lot of fun.
Bob.
I want to thank you very much.
Oh, and Leslie was in the decline of the Western civilization. Just over to go.
Well, for that matter, so was Dave.
Really?
No, I was not.
You aren't. I thought you were in a crowd shot.
No, he's not. No, that was a crotch shot. You misunderstood.
All three of us were at the Fleetwood the night that Bags Fear.
I was
and
in
Circle
the Alice
Jerks
bag in the bet. Yeah,
I was. Too, yeah, that was the first band I ever saw actually. Yeah. So, but we were all three there that night, but we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Well, I want to look for that.
Thanks to Sammy and Joe for coming on a Sunday.
Don't be trying to steal my material, Austin. Yeah. Thank you, Sammy and Joe, for coming in on a Sunday. And we'll be back. And so this show will be coming out sometime next week. We'll let you know. And then we will be back here on Tuesday for Jody and Amara. I don't know. Thank you very much, Leslie and Louie and Dave and Dennis and Sammy and Joe.
Thanks,
for
Bob.
Episode
and Bob, thank you.
For episode 56 of The Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Yay!
We love
and
you, Bob.
Yeah. Thank you. And remember, download and follow and iHeart and tell your friends, please. Love you. Thank you very much.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
It's a wrap.